Welcome, everyone. I'm Pat, and this is The Deep Dive.
And I'm Jesse. We're here to take a whole stack of information and really pull out those key nuggets of knowledge for you, sort of a shortcut to being genuinely well-informed on topics that matter.
Today, we are diving deep into something that, well, it touches so many lives, often without us even realizing just how much emotional dependency. It's definitely a complex idea, but it's so important for building healthier relationships and maybe just as importantly, a stronger sense of who you are.
Yeah, we've gathered insights from lots of different places for this deep dive, psychological experts, therapists, but also some really powerful personal stories shared online. Our goal today is to help you understand what emotional dependency actually is, how you might recognize it, you know, in your own life or maybe relationships you see, and crucially, what steps you can actually take towards greater emotional freedom.
Okay, so let's unpack this. We hear terms like dependent or maybe needy thrown around pretty casually, but what does emotional dependency really mean, like in the psychological sense? What's the core idea?
Well, what's interesting is how clearly different sources define it, pointing to a similar core theme. Basically, emotional dependency is marked by an excessive need for affection and approval from others.
Mm-hmm.
That's how one source put it. It's not just wanting connection. It's more like this intense drive for validation from outside yourself.
Right.
Another source described it as relying on others to feel happy. You know, imagine your whole emotional state being constantly tied to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
One expert, Michelle Ferris, she put it really vividly, saying it's like you put all of your emotional eggs in one person's basket.
Wow.
And that kind of reliance, another source warns, can have dangerous consequences that can affect our peace of mind and well-being because, you know, your internal feeling depends completely on something external.
So it's way more than just like enjoying someone's company or wanting them around. It sounds like it's when your happiness, your actual self-worth, gets tangled up completely with another person. That feels like a really shaky foundation.
Exactly. And that brings up a really important question. How is this different from codependency? That's a term we hear a lot, often maybe misused.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Well, Dr. George Simon, who's an expert on character, he clarifies this. He explains that real codependency actually came out of addiction research originally. It described a situation where it wasn't just the person with the addiction, but their family members, too, who became sort of controlled and dominated by the substance.
Ah, okay.
Or by the behaviors around it. They effectively become codependent on the substance's control over everything.
That's fascinating context. So in that original sense, everyone involved is dependent on the addiction, the substance itself, not necessarily just emotionally dependent on each other directly. That really highlights how these terms get blurred in everyday talk, doesn't it?
It really does. We saw one personal story from a source called Where Grace Abounds. Initially, the person described a relationship with a controlling coworker as codependent. But later, thinking more deeply, they realized it was actually more about emotional dependency.
Hmm.
It's a subtle shift, but really crucial for understanding what's actually going on.
Okay, so for someone listening, maybe wondering if this deep dive is, you know, hitting close to home,
mm-hmm.
How can they tell if they might be dealing with emotional dependency? What are the key signs, the red flags to look out for?
Well, looking across our sources, some common signs definitely pop up. For instance, one source mentioned your happiness depends on them. Like whether you have a good day or a bad day really hinges on that person's mood or if they're around or if they approve of you. It's this constant external check-in. Then there's often an incessant need for reassurance. You know, constantly asking things like, do you love me? Or am I okay? Am I enough? It's not just wanting comfort. It's like this deep anxiety driving the question. Even if you just got reassurance, that can be exhausting for everyone involved. Several sources pointed this out.
Yeah, I can absolutely see how that would be draining. What else might someone notice?
You might find yourself kind of idealizing or projecting onto them.
Yeah.
Building them up into something. Maybe they're not like a savior, protector, or therapist, as one source put it. It's less about the real person and more about the role you need them to play.
Right, fulfilling a need.
Exactly. Mm. And there's often a terrified fear of losing them. This causes huge anxiety when they're not there. It's not just missing someone. It's this deep, almost gut-level fear of abandonment. That can lead to, you know, clinginess or being afraid to let them have their own space.
Mm-hmm.
Several sources mentioned this fear. You might even feel very jealous or possessive when they spend time with other people, seeing it as a threat to your connection. Again, multiple sources noted this pattern.
So it's not just relying on them, but also this really intense, almost paralyzing fear of not having them. That fear seems to drive a lot of the other behaviors, doesn't it?
Precisely. And this can lead to feeling like you genuinely can't live without your partner's emotional support, as one source described it. You might find it really hard to process your own feelings alone or just feel this pervasive emptiness or anxiety when you're by yourself. That internal void feeling came up a lot.
Yeah.
Dr. Charles Whitfield wrote about this idea of losing oneself emotionally, becoming so focused on the other person that we lose touch with what is inside of us and the self feels hollow, like your identity is just filled by depending on someone else.
Wow.
And this can even impact basic self-care, maybe neglecting hygiene, exercise, hobbies, because all your energy is focused outward.
That idea of losing oneself, that's really powerful and kind of scary, honestly. It makes you wonder, why do people develop these patterns? It sounds like it goes much, much deeper than just wanting a close relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Psychology Today and Blade Psychology both highlight that emotional dependency often stems from childhood experiences, things like trauma, unhealthy family dynamics, or what experts call attachment wounds.
Yep.
These are basically disruptions in those really early bonding experiences that make it hard to form secure relationships later, often leading to fears of abandonment or being smothered.
Mm.
And some sources suggest that when we get into toxic relationships, we recreate our childhoods. That's a quote from Michelle Ferris. It's like we subconsciously try to work out old patterns in our current relationships, even if it's painful.
That is a really powerful thought, that we might unconsciously seek out what's familiar, even if it's unhealthy, just because it's known, like playing out an old script.
It really is. Take the story of Kelly Miller. She calls herself the addiction nutritionist. She shared how she first developed an emotional dependency on food, not just for eating, but to stimulate her brain because of ADHD or to soothe anxiety and depression.
Interesting.
And that early coping mechanism later turned into nicotine addiction and alcohol dependence. She talks about desperately wanting freedom from being controlled by these things, living with a mountain of shame, feeling totally trapped, like willpower wasn't enough. Her story really shows how these early ways of coping with emotional pain can grow into major dependencies later on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that other story from Where Grace Abounds, it illustrates this too. It described a woman who was starving for affection and just wanted to be liked and accepted when she was young. This led to some risky behaviors then, and later a pattern of getting into these deeply entangled, often painful, emotionally dependent relationships. That childhood yearning for acceptance just kept playing out, making her look outside herself for validation constantly.
So it's clear this isn't just about romantic partners or close friends then. Does this tendency towards emotional dependency, does it spill over into other parts of life, maybe in ways we don't immediately recognize?
If we look at the bigger picture, it definitely seems to. There was a study from a journal called Annales de Psicologia. It looked at emotional dependency and dating relationships among university students and how it connected to, interestingly, internet and mobile phone abuse.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And what they found fascinating was that emotional dependency, specifically the aspect of avoidance of being alone, was a significant predictor of using the internet and mobile phones excessively, and also linked to consequences like anxiety, depression, low self-esteem.
Huh. That's a very modern angle on it. So technology can become almost like a shelter, a digital coping mechanism for people struggling with that need to not be alone.
Yes, exactly. The study actually notes that new technologies can act as a shelter for people with low self-esteem who might take refuge in a screen to escape from reality, which raises a really interesting question, right?
Yeah.
Is the dependency leading to the tech use, or is the tech use making the dependency worse?
Chicken and egg.
Kind of. The study suggests it's complex, probably goes both ways. But the link is clear. What looks like just scrolling could actually be a way to avoid difficult feelings or loneliness for some people.
Right.
And this kind of connects to some of that viral TikTok stuff we saw. Remember that trend, I am the daughter that feels peace away from her family? A lot of those posts showed young women finding real peace away from family stress, saying things like, I just have so much peace without them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just about moving out. It often implies setting boundaries, choosing their own peace, maybe breaking away from family dynamics that felt, well, potentially toxic or emotionally draining. It highlights that this dependency isn't just romantic. It can absolutely happen in families, too.
Okay, this can feel like a really heavy topic, and these patterns can seem so deep-rooted. But the good news, and something our sources really stress, is that emotional dependency can be overcome. It's not a life sentence. So what are some of the key steps, the practical things someone can do if they're ready to start that journey?
Well, the very first step And Michelle Ferris highlighted this, is simply to acknowledge that it exists. That takes real courage, yeah. You know, facing something painful. But like she said, when the pain becomes greater than the fear, you will let go.
That's powerful.
From there, building self-awareness is just vital. Multiple sources emphasize this. And it's more than just thinking about feelings. It's actively reflecting, noticing your triggers, what situations make you feel that pull towards dependency. Maybe journaling helps recognize patterns in your thoughts and reactions. What makes you feel empty or anxious?
So it's really about turning your attention inward, listening to yourself, instead of always looking outside for answers or validation. That feels like a major shift.
It's a huge shift. And then, based on that awareness, it's about developing emotional independence, taking active steps to meet your own emotional needs. This means getting involved in hobbies you love, setting personal goals just for you, prioritizing self-care that genuinely nourishes you, things that build you up from the inside.
Right.
Improving your self-worth is described as an essential foundation for breaking free. That came up again and again, cultivating that inner sense of value that doesn't depend on someone else's opinion.
And how do boundaries fit into all this? Because that seems like a really critical piece for creating that independence.
Oh, absolutely crucial. Establishing healthy boundaries is key for emotional autonomy. This means learning to clearly communicate your likes and dislikes. And importantly, not being afraid to say no or assert what's okay for you, even if it feels uncomfortable at first. Sources stress this.
Yeah, that can be hard.
It really can be. It's about recognizing where you end and someone else begins and protecting your own emotional space. You have to learn to listen to oneself and, crucially, assume responsibility for one's happiness. That's a big one, taking ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And this also includes letting go of past hurts or traumas, things that might fuel feelings of helplessness or that desperate need for someone else to make things okay. Processing that past is key so it doesn't keep burning the show.
Okay. And what if someone feels like, wow, this is a lot to handle on my own? Or they just need more structured guidance.
That is exactly where professional help can be incredibly valuable, even transformative. Therapy offers tools and support, things like cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, that helps you change those thought patterns feeding the dependency, or EMDR, often used for processing trauma that might be underlying it. Schema therapy looks at those long-term patterns. Emotionally focused therapy digs into attachment dynamics.
Lots of options.
Yes. Different approaches that can provide guidance, specific tools, and a safe space to work through this. Support groups are also highly recommended by some sources, offering that community understanding. And it's important to remember, as one source pointed out, these behaviors developed over time.
Mm-hmm.
So change won't happen overnight. It needs patience and compassion for yourself.
That's a good reminder.
Ultimately, like Helen Mia Harris, a relationship specialist, said, the antidote is moving towards emotional self-reliance and autonomy, so you can love without losing you.
This whole deep dive, it really does highlight how those early experiences can cast such a long shadow, shaping our relationships, even how we use technology. But the amazing takeaway, I think, is that emotional autonomy, it isn't just some fantasy. It's a real, achievable path. It offers genuine freedom.
It truly does. The journey, it involves cultivating that self-awareness, finding the courage to set boundaries, and really intentionally building a life that feeds your soul. You know, not just hoping someone else will fill that internal void. Remember, living a life with more freedom, more healing, it is absolutely possible for you.
And as you think about all this for yourself, here's maybe one final thought to mull over. What tiny step, what small intentional thing can you maybe do today to start embracing your own emotional needs, even if it feels a bit awkward or uncomfortable? Because often that discomfort is right where real self-reliance starts to grow.
Thank you all so much for joining us on this deep dive today. We really hope this conversation sparked some valuable insights, maybe some actionable steps you can think about.
We really appreciate you tuning in. If you found this deep dive helpful, please do take a second to like this episode, maybe share it with someone you think might benefit from hearing it, and leave us a comment. Your engagement really helps us reach more people who are keen to get well-informed and maybe make some positive shifts.
We look forward to having you back for our next deep dive. Goodbye, everyone.